Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains, Colorado. Steve Vaughn in studio, homeschool father of six. And we are now on day 34 of the longest government shutdown in American history.
Wow, day 34.
Yeah. Only about a quarter of government is shut down, so it's not as severe as perhaps some people think it is, but it really hasn't affected me all that much.
Well, I'm surprised I'm actually able to sleep at night now. I mean, government is my life, and so I lay awake wondering, when will they open? When will they open? When can everybody get back to work? Yeah, I just...
You know, it's interesting. I don't think government has much of an effect on my life day to day. Obviously, I'm involved in family and church and ministry work, and government just really doesn't have much of an impact on my life, except April time frame. I think we pay taxes at least once a year.
As a business owner, I have to pay taxes every month for the 941s. Actually, when I was writing checks to the government, 28 checks a year for a small business that I had to write to state, federal, and local governments.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But government has increased its purview in our lives significantly since the turn of the 20th century. Turn of the 20th century, you were looking at about 8% of the GNI. That is 8% of the average person's income was affected by taxes on the local, state, and federal level. Today, that's upwards of 50%. So, size of government is 6 to 7 times what it was as a percentage of the GNI. But the Congress has already voted back pay for everybody on this shutdown. So this isn't saving any money. The only way to cut government in America, as you know, is to veto the federal budget and to try to get a third of Congress to sustain the veto. And, that's not going to happen anytime too soon.
No, they're both sides are into spending, getting as much tax money as possible, spending as much as possible. Even when they save money on some other program, they'll just spend it on something else.
Republicans are going to have to get past the charades if they're ever going to do anything substantial in defending freedom for the average American. So I think the big question is, what is government supposed to do? Obviously, government is doing a lot of things that it shouldn't be doing. In this government shutdown, the housing and urban development has been shut down. Most of the departments, 7,500 employees are deemed non-essential.
Why do they have a job?
Yeah. If they're non-essential now, what function do they play the rest of the year? And we see the same thing with the Department of Personnel Management, the agency that oversees the federal workforce, offering advice to workers on how to deal with landlords, mortgage lenders, and other creditors. This department is shut down, and I don't think anybody really misses it.
No.
There's also the Commerce Department, and evidently we're not going to be getting economic data on gross domestic product, inflation, personal income, spending, trade, and new home sales during the shutdown. So that's going to be a real painful thing, not having access to all that important analysis provided by the Commerce Department and their tens of thousands of employees that are sitting around doing something or other.
Yeah, because obviously nobody else could do that.
Then there's the Federal Communications Commission. Much of that is shut down. The Transportation Department, 20,400 have been put on leave. That does not include most of the Federal Aviation Administration. Also, the Executive Office of the President, of the 1,800 employees, 1,100 are on leave. So that's something like 60 or 70% of the president's office. It's incredible to have 1,800 people working for one guy. That's amazing. So I think we need to get back to what the purpose of government is. It's important for Christians to come back to the Word of God and say, okay, God, the creator of heaven and earth, the source of all authority in heaven and on earth, has provided for a civil government. That's Romans chapter 13. But is the purpose of government to regulate every part of life? The assumption, of course, on the part of these regulatory agencies is that private enterprise simply cannot organize their own regulatory systems, including their own traffic control or air traffic control. And I would suggest that, private aircraft probably would be interested in some kind of traffic control, because if they crashed a jet, it's rather expensive to pay the claims that come when you crash your jet. So I think, just as private enterprise has been able to organize an internet, I think private enterprise could organize air traffic control as well. Now, these are the sorts of arguments that the socialists, just do not want to assess. They don't want to they don't want to come to the truth here, that government's purpose is not to regulate. God's law doesn't allow for regulation. God's law allows for significant punishments when there is gross negligence, as in the ox that's often pushes its horn and then winds up killing somebody. In situations like that, of course, there is a court trial, and yes, there will be remuneration of some sort, some sort of punishment for the owner of the ox or the owner of the vehicle or the owner of the manufacturing equipment that resulted in the destruction of human life. So again, my friends, God's law does provide for not regulation, but no preemptive regulation, no preemptive fines, but yes, laws for gross negligence cases. Now, of course, we need to understand God's laws. And the purpose of government, as instituted by God, is not to allow the civil government to do everything it wants to do. Civil government cannot completely dominate every part of your life. Civil government cannot confiscate your children because you didn't keep things organized in the living room last night. The social services simply do not have the God-given authority to walk into your home and regulate every part of your life and confiscate your children at the drop of a hat. And friends, that I know is what the average American socialist believes. The average American believes that governments can do whatever they want. They can take away your house. They can tax you to 85% of your income. They can confiscate your children. They can do whatever they want, and it would be ethically appropriate for them to do so. But no, we do not believe that. We do not believe that government has a blank check to do whatever it wants to do. No, the purpose of government is given to us in Romans 13. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. That is all authority, all rights to rule, all rights to legislate come from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad, as defined by God's laws. Of course, would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. But for he is God's servant for your good. Again, this is the reason for the civil magistrate. God has instituted the civil magistrate. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Friends, the civil magistrate is there to implement God's law against the wrongdoer, and he does not use the sword in vain. Now, he is not to use the sword against somebody who worships God and evangelizes on the streets the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is beyond his purview. It is unethical and wrong and unjust for a civil magistrate to violate the laws of God. He absolutely must defend, legislate, and execute the laws of God against the wrongdoer. That's the purpose for the civil magistrate. Civil magistrate is there to go after the bank robbers, the rapists, and the murderers, not to regulate every part of our lives. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about 1/3 of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way.
protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org.
And we're back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, Steve Vaughn, also in studio. And Steve, these are fighting words as I say that God is the ultimate authority, and there is no authority but that which is from God, and the civil magistrate has an obligation to submit himself to the law of God and to execute the laws of God, and not to tyrannize the populace, and certainly not to tyrannize those that do good as defined by God's laws. But, you know, the masses that hear these words are massively offended because they have turned into creatures of the state. They believe that the state is God. And to question the authority of the civil magistrate and to call something they have done unjust by the definition of God's laws is anathema to the modern mind that has abandoned God, the creator of heaven and earth, the revealer of his truth in the Old and New Testaments, as the ultimate authority. Is heresy to the modern humanist mind. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to believe that civil magistrates are in submission to God. And if they will not submit themselves to God, they subject themselves to his judgment.
Yeah, and part of the problem is because they're receiving so much money from the civil magistrate that if we vote them out or if we say that they're wrong, I might not get my paycheck.
Well, yes, and people have come to worship the state. They rely on the state to take care of their physical needs. I mean, they pray to the state, right? Give us this day our daily bread, and sure enough, the check comes in next week. You know how
yeah,
it works,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Give us this day our daily bread. And they pray to the state, and sure enough, they receive their security from the state, and the state sends them that check on a weekly or a monthly basis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You could insert the federal government into, or the civil government into, the Lord's Prayer,
and you pretty much got the worldview of the average person in the modern state.
Forgive me my debts. You know, all of that. You know, so state, please forgive me for doing this. It's all there.
That would be everybody with a college loan.
Yes, that's true.
Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Yeah.
All modern governments also have this idea that they have a role to fix man's problems. Again, not to go after the evildoer. That is not the role of the civil magistrate in the mind of the average Republican leader in America. You agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's both sides of the aisle. Yeah. It's not just one side. It's both of them. They think that they need to micromanage our lives.
Oh,
that
yeah.
We can't figure it out for ourselves. And if we try, we might hurt ourselves. And the government is the parent. I'm there to protect you. I'm keep you safe from yourself.
The impression is that governments are supposed to fix our problems for us, to solve the problems of poverty and crime and the lack of literacy and fill in the blank. But that's not their job. It's not the government's job to solve our problems. That's Jesus' job.
Yeah.
That's why he came. And again, this is a very, very practical lesson. I think that everybody, at least those men and women of faith, need to grapple with. And that is, who's your Savior? Exactly who was your Savior? Who are you looking to save you from the negative consequences of sin and sin itself? Modern governments, of course, they attempt to fix problems by tweaking the environment. So they sort of sit in a control room, okay? The control room of human society, and they tweak the knobs. I'm tweaking knobs.
Yes.
Okay? They want to provide the right education, regulate the economy, analyze the data, and adjust the knobs. And that this is what the Department of Commerce is doing. This is what the Department of Education is doing. This is where 28% of the GNI goes. Friends, this is it. They sit at the knobs of human society and human life, tweaking the knobs, regulating the economy, analyzing the data, and adjusting. Millions upon millions upon millions of bureaucrats are hired to do this. They have the impression, of course, that they are sovereign, that government is sovereign as God should be sovereign, but they believe that governments are sovereign. And, of course, this is a very expensive proposition, usually consuming at least 55% of the GNI at all levels. You see, because once you've turned government into the sovereign who analyzes the data, tweaks the knobs, you're going to be in for a very expensive proposition.
Yeah, and it works as long as they have other people's money to work with. But yeah. when they run out, then, well, they just can print some
and
more.
And I don't think it really works. No. The idea that somehow they can fix the problems, take the $1 trillion effort to obliterate drugs, the drug war.
Yeah.
Okay, that has been a laughable failure in the history of modern socialist governments. Our socialist governments need to wake up and realize they're not God, they're not sovereign, and they're going to fail, and they're going to fail, and they're going to fail some more. You can't save mankind from his problems of poverty and the rest of it by human governments, friends. If you trace the problems, what do you get? Slothfulness with young men, fatherlessness, alcoholism, drug abuse. Isn't that where you go?
Oh, yeah.
That's where you get. Now, those problems are linked to what? Sin.
Yes.
Drunkenness, alcoholism, fatherlessness. Basically, man is breaking God's commandments. They're worshiping the gods of alcohol and drugs instead of worshiping and serving the true and living God. They break the first commandment. Then they break the seventh commandment, fatherlessness.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I've got the stats here for fatherlessness. In 2016, 64% of babies born to women under 30 born without fathers.
Wow.
64% now of children born to women under 30 years of age born out of wedlock. That's up from 60% in 2008, 48% in 1998, 38% in 1888, and 8% in 1960.
Wow.
Meaning that the increase in the percentage of babies born to women under 30, born outside of wedlock, has been an increase of eightfold, from 8% to 64% of babies born to women under 30, born out of wedlock, between 1960 and 2016. This is the one statistic that gets worse and worse every year. I followed it up on childtrends.org. But friends, again, we're now at 64% of babies born to women under 30 years of age, as millennials or the Gen Zers,
mm-hmm.
born out of wedlock, born without fathers. The abandonment of fathers will be devastating, utterly devastating to an entire society. Make no mistake about it, my friends. It is socially devastating. It's devastating. We crossed the 50% line in 2000. That is, the majority of this nation is raised in a dysfunctional world beginning the year 2000. So that's the point at which the scales tipped and the American social system collapsed. It usually takes about 20 years before you start to reap the whirlwind on this stuff. So again, the majority of American turned dysfunctional in 2000. It's been almost 20 years since the year 2000. This is the point at which we begin to reap the whirlwind. And friends, this is the time for reaping and weeping.
Yeah.
The next 20 years will be a time for reaping. There will be a tremendous harvest to reap.
Be a grim reaper.
Of the last 20 yeah. years. Because of the massive violation of the seventh commandment, sexual sin was rampant and normative as of the year 2000. And it's gotten worse and worse. Now, 64.4% of babies born to women under 30 years of age, born without fathers. Friends, devastation. Can you say the word devastation? Can you spell the word devastation? The problem, of course, is that man has sinned against God. This is not something governments can solve for us. And it's not as if more Christian do-gooders getting into government are going to solve this problem, friends. The only solution is not going to be an environmental solution. It's not going to be just adjusting a few of the social knobs. The problem is man has sinned against God. It's not an environmental problem. It's a serious violation of the laws of God. People are having sex outside of wedlock. And God brings his judgment, both temporally and eternally, for these sins. The only solution for this, of course, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ came. He came to forgive and to cleanse and to create a new man. That is, he can start life over again for you and for me. He can restore the years the locusts have eaten. And this is the only solution at this point. Obviously, socially, this nation is toast. The foundations are destroyed. But the question for us, for you and for me, friends, is, how do we face our own sin? And that can only happen by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus transforms nations, but not by big government. This is a point I make in taking the world for Jesus. But we want people to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ has brought an amazing redemption, an incredible salvation. And these pseudo-salvations that come by government are only that. They're only pseudo-salvation. They don't bring a salvation, friends. Your faith in government is misplaced, but your trust in Jesus is well-placed. Think about what Jesus has done to transform nations. Now, I'll just give you some stats. We can look at a thousand examples of how Jesus has transformed nations over 2,000 years. And this is the beautiful story told in our world history compilation called Taking the World for Jesus. But Transparency International and the Heritage Foundation have examined 200 nations for honesty in trade and freedom. It turns out the most free nations in the world are Protestant nations. 7 out of 9 Protestant nations, 2 out of 9 were colonies heavily influenced by Great Britain. Now, the 10 most tyrannical nations, like the very, very bottom, at like number 200, number 199, number 198, number 197, the very worst hell holes on earth were nations where 4 of them are communist, 3 are Muslim, and 3 are Catholic.
Wow.
So see, at the very, very bottom, you see the effects of worldviews that produced terrible results. And Transparency International, of course, looked at the most honest nations in the world. That is where trade is possible and where business can boom and where people effectively keep the Eighth Commandment. They don't steal as much. They don't covet as much. They don't engage in bribery as much and so forth. Okay, out of the 16 most honest nations in the world, 14 are Protestant. And out of the 21 worst nations in the world, they are animist, Catholic, communist, and Muslim, just like the Heritage Foundation results. So what does that tell you? What this tells you is that where the Word of God was preached, where the Word of God was accessible, where the gospel was accessible to the Protestant nations, hundreds of years later, we still see the effects of what Jesus accomplished around the world. And Steve, think about what more he could accomplish in the years to come.
Oh, there's a lot. I mean, he can do anything, but you know, it's just like what it says. If my people would humble themselves and pray, that he can still heal their land. But it ultimately there's no kingdom that is forever except for his.
That's
and
right.
So that's the one we need to seek first, his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be added.
So the method comes by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, in which we deal with man's basic problems. That is his sin issues, and encourage them to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we begin to see the outworking of discipling the nations to obey all that Jesus had commanded. And 300 years later, we find that there are places around the world where prosperity and freedom and honesty and honest trade has blossomed because of the influence of the powerful working of Jesus and the preaching of the Word of God and the transformation of lives in these nations. And friends, it's only beginning. We're seeing this working out in other nations around the world. I wouldn't be surprised if China will be discipled, and China may be one of the strongest Christian nations in the world 20, 30, 40 years from now. Wouldn't surprise me. Would it surprise you?
Not at all.
And so we encourage you to update yourself on Dispatches from the Front videos. We encourage you to read our book, Taking the World for Jesus. And I would also throw in the story of Western freedoms in my book, Freedom, in which we talk about the amazing legacy of the Christian faith in Europe, in America, as Christians fought for true liberties and true freedom over the centuries. Friends, the stories of what Jesus has accomplished in the history of the world, not to be ignored. Don't spend all your time worrying about governments and hoping upon hoping that civil government's going to change things around here. It ain't going to happen. Look to what Jesus has done. Give Jesus the credit for this and teach your children about what he has done using our resources, Taking the World for Jesus, the book Freedom, and of course, Dispatches from the Front. These are updates from the front of the kingdom work as to what Jesus is accomplishing around the world. It's a video series that I highly recommend to you. We have those available at our website as well. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn, and we'd like to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.